Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Thanks to everyone who supports Independent Tech News directly. If you're not already, become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, November 20th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from beautiful Finnish countryside, I'm Patrick Beja.
And somewhere in the LA County area, I am Roger Chang, the show's producer.
We are going to talk about a pretty interesting new technology company that's trying to do something I've seen a lot of people do, which is project, well, not even project, but just turn anything into an input device. A lot of times we get folks in our regular surveys saying, why don't you talk about companies that are doing new things? Well, that's what we're going to do today. Let's start with a few other new things you should know.
It's not new, but Bitcoin dropped to its lowest level in over a year on Monday, sinking to $4,883.09 if you're converting to U.S. dollars, which is a drop of 22% in the past 7 days and more than 65% this year, according to data from CoinDesk. The cryptocurrency is also down more than 30% since the Thanksgiving holiday week last year.
Bad for my predictions. Cheddar's sources say Snap plans to release a $350 version of its spectacle glasses. This one will have two cameras, an aluminum frame, and the ability to produce augmented reality effects in videos. Right there in the glasses. Snap plans to make 24,000 pairs of this new model. So for those of you keeping score, it's the most expensive pair of spectacles, and it's the lowest production run yet.
What are they doing?
They're a camera company.
They're making spectacles.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little more about something that we loved but is going away, or at least a lot of us did.
Some of us did. I mean, a few. Valve is discontinuing its Steam Link device, but will continue to support it. The box streamed PC games to a TV through a plug-in controller, keyboard, and mouse. The Steam Link launched in 2015, but since then, Valve has brought the Steam Link app directly to Android phones and Samsung smart TVs and pulled back focus on additional hardware devices.
This is probably something that didn't need to continue to exist because you can use almost any device now as a Steam Link. But it was pretty cool to be able to just take this little $20 or at its cheapest $2.50 tiny device and turn whatever screen you could attach it to into an extension of your PC.
I mean, right. It's something that cheap, and obviously it wasn't always $2.50, but I mean, the company definitely slashed the prices. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It sounds like they just had a hard time getting the word out, plus it being a bit of a middleman when once the app came to smartphone devices, particularly Android, a lot of people just leapfrogged the need for it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the app does the job. It's not available on Apple devices, which is a little bit of a bummer. It does the job on, you know, Android smart TV devices. I'm guessing I don't have one, so I haven't tested it, but there's no reason it wouldn't. The price was slashed last year already, or early this year. It was like $5. Literally delivery was more expensive than the device itself. And it already seemed like they were clearance sale-ing it. But beyond this, I think it's interesting to see Valve kind of pulling back on, it seems, all of its weird efforts. Valve for a long time has been a very successful game development company. And when Steam took off, they stopped making games, essentially. They made a few here and there, but it wasn't the heart of their business anymore. And they tried doing hardware stuff and hardware. Do you remember the Steam machines?
Oh, the Steam machines. Oh, yeah.
And those were a response to concerns that Microsoft might try to make it more difficult for third-party apps to run on Windows at some point. Now, that has been those fears have been alleviated, and so the Steam machines kind of went away. There's a whole lot of factors. But overall, I'm kind of wondering what Valve is if Valve isn't thinking, all right, you know what? We've tried a lot of things. We've done some VR stuff. They didn't build it themselves. Maybe it's time we start being serious again. Maybe they won't. I mean, they're a privately held company. They can do whatever they want. But this really seems like they're starting to clean up all of the different weird things they've been trying their hands at for the past few years.
And the Steam cash cow can keep them going for a while, although, you know, companies like Discord are starting to even try to eat into that. So yeah, it would be interesting to see if they start doubling down back on games again.
Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that Samsung is working on four different variants of the Galaxy S10. It's been kind of under wraps, although there have been some rumors about what the device would be. Well, the Wall Street Journal sources say this would include a 5G-capable 6.7-inch model nicknamed Beyond X, with two cameras in the front and four in the back. Six cameras total, everybody. Samsung reportedly will unveil the camera mid-February, but then release in conjunction with 5G network rollouts with various carriers, at least in the U.S. The other three S10 models are said to have screens ranging from 5.8 to 6.4 inches and have 3 to 5 cameras total each.
So we might not get this right away after it's announced if 5G service isn't available. It sounds like they're, according to the journal, they're talking to carriers about whether they'll be able to launch on 5G on their networks because they want to have that there. So it'd be interesting if we get four variants announced. Three of them are just what you'd expect in the slow evolution of smartphones in a Galaxy S10. One is this six camera beast with 5G, but you can't get it until maybe November or something.
November seems quite far off. I would be surprised if it was that far off. I mean, you don't necessarily need 5G at the moment you're buying it. At least you're future proof.
But so maybe there's the way the journal was saying it, they wouldn't sell it till you could get that one with 5G service.
Right. I understand. Okay. I think, you know, 5G is going to start appearing relatively soon in some countries. So maybe, I don't know.
Korea,
what strikes me even more in this rumor is the Galaxy S10, the big model, seems like a way to sell a really expensive phone. And that's something that has been working out quite well for Apple. So I wouldn't be surprised if other companies that are trying to increase their revenue and margins in a world where people buy less phones, if they're trying the same things. I mean, it worked for Apple. There's no reason it wouldn't work for them. They're one of the few premium brands on Android, and they should probably be able to capture the same kind of sentiment.
Yeah, I don't know that just a lot. I mean, I know some people are very, very into multiple cameras. And so that might be enough to get a few people interested. Obviously, having a 5G phone early will get a lot of early adopters interested. The foldable phone isn't going to be this one from Samsung, though. So I'm not sure how different this is, really.
Well, I mean,
two features.
There aren't a million things they can do. It's going to have a really big screen. It's going to have 5G. It's going to have six cameras. If you want the best one, it almost doesn't really matter what the best one features as long as it's the best one. And certainly in the case of Apple, it seems that that's the way it's working. You can get to 10R, which is, 90% what the XS does, or even more. People don't really care. The people who are, I think, in the market for these kinds of phones, if they have $900 to spend on a phone and they want the best one, they're probably okay spending $1,100, So I don't know.
There has to be a limit somewhere, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right, of course, but in that range, I think it still works out.
Microsoft is implementing FIDO 2 password-free logins for Microsoft accounts used for things like Outlook, Office 365, OneDrive, Skype, Xbox Live, Bing, a few others. It works on Windows 10 and the Edge browser, so users have to have a hardware key like a YubiKey, which can work with USB, Bluetooth, or NFC, and then that hardware key is used in combination with Windows Hello, either the facial recognition or the fingerprint recognition. You could also use the YubiKey type thing with a PIN code or with a phone running the Microsoft Authenticator app. But the idea is, however you're using it, as long as you're using Windows 10 or Edge, you will be able to just log in without having to know a password. The PIN code is the closest to a password, but it can be a lot simpler, so easier to remember, and still be securely logged in. Other companies that support hardware augmented login through FIDO2 are Google, Dropbox, Twitter, Facebook, GitHub, LastPass, 1Password, and Dashlane. But this is a big deal, especially because of the large swath of the enterprise market that Microsoft has, to be able to make another step towards a password-free world and living in it.
I don't know that I prefer two-factor authentication where I have to have two things. I mean, I don't, because one of them is
the definition of two-factor authentication, though. I guess what you're saying is you want to have something you know, but if you do, you don't have to have a thing if it's facial ID, right? Or
right,
if it's fingerprint.
But facial ID isn't there yet, I don't think. You know, you if you're using... No, my point is you don't have a camera on every PC. You do on every laptop, but you don't on every desktop. Or like you have to set it up. I don't know. You know, I have Windows Hello on my desktop here. I don't use it because it's cumbersome.
But you have a camera.
And I'm being an old man is what you're going to say.
I was going to let you go on this one. Because, you know, you narrowed your objection enough. But Windows Hello works really well. That's where my original reaction came from. I love Windows Hello.
As somebody who has to reset passwords on at least three services a week, even though I use a password manager and feel like I'm somewhat in control of the kind of passwords I'm choosing at any given time, I like this idea. Passwords are a pain. They, you know, it seemed like that was the most secured method for a really long time. And there have been advancements, certainly. But I don't know. Bring on the facial recognition.
Are
I'm
you
ready.
A Patrick or are you a Sarah? Let us know. Feedback at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
I'm slowly becoming a Sarah, though. Give me another couple of years.
Okay, good to know.
And I'll be there.
Excellent.
Amazon is in the running to buy Fox's 22 regional sports networks from Disney. Disney is acquiring a large portion of Fox and has agreed to conditions on the acquisition that they must sell the 22 regional sports networks within 90 days of the close of the acquisition. Among the 22 networks is the YES Network, which carries the New York Yankees and Brooklyn Nets games, which are sports team, yes, I imagine, are. In the United yes. States of
you
America.
You know what the New York Yankees are.
The Yankees,
probably
yes.
know
are
what
they,
the Nets are, too.
I think Yankees... No. Yankees, I think they're baseball?
Yes, they
That's
are.
That's right.
Okay. And Nets, I'm going to guess basketball because
yes.
Nets.
Yes. See?
Okay, yep, see? So guess not rocket science.
Not too bad. Several other companies are interested in buying the networks, and some are interested in buying the YES Network separately. How could you say no?
I can't say no to YES.
Yeah. If you're a Boston fan, maybe.
Right.
So what would Amazon do with regional sports networks?
Add it to Prime Video. Add sports to Prime Video. Because one of the things people say, like, I don't want to cut the cord. I need my sports. But what if suddenly Amazon said, hey, as part of Amazon Prime, you now get your sports?
Sounds like that would be a reasonable answer to that reasonable objection.
Yeah, I mean, the YES Network is you know, it doesn't contain information on teams that I'm usually watching, but that version of the network that was, centered around San Francisco teams, I would pay for. I would, you know, I'd pay a little premium. And if that was part of Amazon Prime in some fashion, that would be great because unless something is on local television, I don't see it when it's sports.
And that's a really good example because Bay Area Sports is on Comcast Sports Bay Area, which is an NBC-owned property. That would not be part of this. So the Bay Area folks wouldn't get the advantage. But Fox Sports West, which has got the LA area teams, would be on this. But the Dodgers are not on that, only the Angels, so far as baseball goes. So it is not going to get them all the sports, but it certainly would give them access to a lot of it and be a thing that they could add to Amazon Prime Video. My guess is as an add-on, like add on a regional sports network to your Prime Video subscription, the way you add on Stars or HBO or something like that.
Oh my God, we're getting there. We're going back. We're going back to the past. That's terrible.
But we get to watch our sports, Patrick, and still be cord cutters.
Yes, of course.
And you get more control. Cutters, I think
air quotes when you're saying course.
Amazon gives you.
I know.
Hold on. Before we move on, though, I have to counter that because Amazon gives you a lot more control than any traditional cable company has.
Of course, of course. No, I was, you know, semi joking.
Well, Google's making some improvements to its call screen feature that will include transcripts. This is according to employee posts on Google forums. And those transcripts will automatically be saved to the dialer app after the call for later viewing. Anybody who used this feature before, you could see the transcript while you were screening the call, but there wasn't a save option unless you took a screenshot. So a little bit cumbersome beforehand. A Google employee named Paul Dunlap wrote that this new feature, quote, will be available to our public beta testers first and then all Pixel 3 users later in the year.
Now, this is interesting because I think this is an example of you don't really know how people are going to use it until you launch it. Because I, for one, felt that, well, why would you want a transcript? When they first demoed this, I'm like, yeah, I want to see what's happening while the call is on so I can decide whether to pick up or not. That was the way it was pitched, and I thought that was pretty valuable. But what happened is a lot of people missed the call and then said, well, I want to see what they said. They didn't leave a message, but it would be great if you could just save a transcript and I could see who that was and decide whether to block them or call them back. And Google's like, huh, well, we didn't really think anybody would want to do that, but all right. And good responsiveness here in making that happen.
Is there some privacy issue there? Because I don't think the reasonable expectation is that you're going to be somehow recorded as you're talking to the assistant, unless the assistant tells
you. It's not recorded.
Well,
it's transcribed.
But I mean, if you were to leave a voicemail now,
yes, but this is not a voicemail, right?
Well, yeah, it is.
It would not be against the rules for me to write down what you're saying when you called me, would it?
I know, but it's a technicality. I think this is a new thing, and people wouldn't be expecting anyone, and especially not that computer, to be writing it down. And I don't think it quite falls into the area of voicemail, as you're saying, Sarah. Maybe it does. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what this is. But it picks up, kind of leading you to believe that you're being screened and being asked question to for the person to decide whether or not they're going to pick up. So it's not quite voicemail. And if that conversation is being recorded, even if it's in writing and not in voice,
hold on.
I don't know. There's a little bit of a creepy.
I think you're coming up with an objection where one doesn't need to be, because the objection has always been, you need to tell me that this is a computer. And I think it does that now. It says, hey, I'm the Google assistant and I'll be, I don't know what the wording is, but I think it implies that it's going to be keeping this conversation for its own purposes for machine learning. So I think just providing the transcript to the user is below that level of expectation.
I think whatever the way it's presented, as long as people have an understanding that this might be recorded somehow, I think it's fine. I
think it also starts to be a little ridiculous to say, look, I called someone to talk to them, but I didn't expect them to remember what I said. I don't want to be beholden to my own words. Like, come on.
I think also, I mean, the nice thing about this feature that, you know, it's going to come in handy for a lot of people is being able to screen out just spam calls. Sure, there are going to be some legitimate people who you look at the transcript and you go, oh, yeah, it was that person. Let me call them back. But most of the time, this is screening out stuff that you never wanted to answer in the first place.
Yeah. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, that can keep you up to date. If you miss a DTNS, you don't have to miss out on the news. Check out DailyTechHeadlines.com. So So for many years, companies have trotted out devices that could turn surfaces into input devices. Usually they were projecting something. One of the more common ones I remember over the years was devices that would project a keyboard onto a desk. And then as you blocked.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The light, it would be able to tell which keys you were trying to tap. They worked with varying effectiveness. TechCrunch reports that a London startup named Hypersurfaces is the latest to try this, but they're taking it a lot farther. Their device uses machine learning and vibration sensors to recognize the inputs that you're having on pretty much anything. So the vibrations that are caused by you tapping a location on a surface can be learned. Once trained, the algorithm then can run on a local system on a chip for instant gesture recognition. You might need the cloud to train it, but once it's trained, you don't need the cloud anymore. So that makes it fast, that makes it cheap, and that makes it local. Not a privacy issue. A kitchen table could control your smart lights. When you sit down for dinner, you can just tap the table, it turns on the lights. The floor could detect intruders by figuring out like the patterns of walking of you and your cats, but not, you know, if they don't recognize it, sound the alarm. The biggest interested party in this is the auto industry. And the video demo that Hypersurfaces provides shows a car where you can tap on the inside of the glass or the outside of the glass, and it can tell whether you're tapping on the inside or the outside. You can tap on the side of the door. You could put a magazine in the little compartment and it'll know something went in there. And the auto industry is very interested in using that to improve the control system in cars. But I feel like we could probably come up with all kinds of things this could work for. And it is the sort of thing that could really change how we interact with stuff. And the composition of stuff when it doesn't, you don't have to have a keyboard and you don't have to even have a touchscreen anymore necessarily.
I think we need to specify this doesn't work. I don't know that it doesn't, but it doesn't seem to work to be able to distinguish things that are so close that you would be able to use it as a keyboard. At least in the demo they're showing, the taps are,
yeah, it's
maybe,
a question.
Yeah. 5 inches, 6 inches apart, at least. But aside from that, also it's not like you can't touch screen, like slide on a surface and it will recognize that you're, you know, sliding.
Those are both great questions. I don't know that it couldn't do that. It may just not be enough yet, or they'd be showing it, I think.
Yeah, that's true. But the way they're showing it is already really interesting. There are many examples of things that it could be used for. The one with the car door isn't just, you know, tapping on one portion of the car door. It's also things like opening or pulling on the door. Oh, how do you call that
handle?
Thing? the handle or releasing it and things like that. It feels like this technology, if it works as advertised, kind of digitizes interactions you have with your environment. There's a cost question, efficiency question, but sensors that detect where you touch what in pretty much anything with a very limited number of sensors could have incredible amounts of uses. So in the car, I think it's one of the first things we think about, but there could be many of them. The one caveat I have is if you do the thing on the kitchen table, how many times will it activate by mistake?
I literally, as you were saying that, thought of a way to handle that. Okay. And I'm stealing it from the Apple Watch. You know how the Apple Watch gives you a notification by a vibration in your wrist, and it tries to change the vibrations based on what kind of notification it's sending you? What if just tapping doesn't turn on the lights? You tap a certain pattern. So, you know, a syncopated pattern turns on the lights. Now,
it's like Morse code for a smart home. Yeah.
Just like da-da-da-da-da will turn on the lights. It's something you're less likely to do by accident.
Right. You know what that sounds like when you're describing it like this? It sounds like that technology in the 70s where you would clap your hands clapper. And your lights would come on.
Yeah. It's the clapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the tapper.
I mean, the smart home in many ways, I mean, it's not unlike that. That was just something that was before its time.
Did I kill it? Did I just kill this company? I'm sorry.
Tap off. It's the tapper. No,
I've been trying to think about, okay, what would be the, I don't know, something, some sort of an object that I, you know, is it my desk? Is it, you know, the kitchen table? Is it a floor? Something that I interact with. If I just had to choose, okay, what's the most convenient, thing that's in my house that I would want to incorporate into this?
Well, and also, okay, while you're thinking of that, remember, it can also be another situation. So I actually, TechCrunch article suggested this. What if you had wood cases now for electronic devices, and then you just tap on them? So get rid of all those buttons, man. Apple will love this. They don't need any more buttons because you can just tap on the side to do whatever it is you need to do that a button would have done before.
I think that would be possible now already with one or two buttons, but maybe not. I think, you know, the thing that's happening with this kind of technology is that we're always thinking about it in terms of what we already know. And I think if it works as advertised, it's transformative enough that it will spring different unexpected kinds of uses. And that's the most exciting thing, right?
Yeah. There's a developer out there right now who was trying to figure out how to solve something that hears about this and says, wait, that would solve my problem. And it's a product that none of us had ever thought of before. And everybody was telling him maybe wouldn't work until this came along. You know that. You know that's the case.
Have you found the example of the thing you would love to use it for, Sarah?
No, and I keep thinking, no, but a lot of the stuff is exactly what you said. It seems like, oh, do I really need it? And then you have it and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I ever lived without my Echo or, you know, whatever it is. So, I've been racking my brain thinking what would be the best place for something like this to be incorporated. And I don't know, maybe the kitchen table, somewhere that I go every day.
So let's think a little bit wider. With something like this, your home could know where everyone is in the house and what, you know, which member of the family is where, and couple this with a little bit of an intelligent assistant, it can set up the house without you having to worry about it. Like if you're walking from your room to your bathroom, it can light up the hallway without you having to put in these creepy cameras that are going to be watching you all the time. This is the same thing, but much more discreet because it's a couple of sensors in the floor.
And it's simpler. There's other ways to do it too. You could track a phone right. signal or a watch signal, but here Which it's like, if you're not wearing your watch, still works, right? It just works all the time because it's based on you, not something you carry or something it's trying to observe through a camera. Mm-hmm. That's a good example.
Maybe
it's easy for me to sort of chuckle and be like, well, I wish I lived in a house big enough where I like wondered where the other people in my family were. However, when I think about this, realistically, even in the relatively small apartment I live in, it would be nice to know what room my dog is in if I, had an easy way to do that.
There you go.
So, all right.
Where's Sam the cat?
Oh, even for the little peasants like me, we can make use of the smartphone. I would also like to have the floor illuminated when I walk to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You could submit stories and you can vote on other stories submitted by your peers at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook. Check us out. Hang out. Leave a note. Interact. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
We want to hear from you. Feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. And then it goes in the mailbag and then Sarah reads it like this.
Correct. Dolan from the Smoky Hills of Tennessee. Dare I say, Dolan might be a cow person. Before sending this email, Dolan says, I double-checked my Patreon pledge and was astonished to find my patronage of DTNS was AWOL. Not sure what happened, but I'm glad I checked because now it's back in action. Thanks for the effort to make the world better. Oh, that's nice. When you discussed the Movidius Neural Compute Stick a few days ago, you asked for input from developers who are using it. The project I'm using it with is a mobile IoT application. We need machine learning that can move and interact with the world. I'm not at liberty to discuss the specifics of the project, but imagine a drone that could adapt in real time as it interacts with its surroundings. The narrow physical dimensions of the device make it perfect for developing mobile IoT projects.
And then he can use the hypersurface technology that he has trained locally with his Movidius stick to be able to like sense the vibrations around him in the air with the drone. Or not.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Dolan. I don't know how you get those cows up there on those smoky hills, but we appreciate it. Natron, on yesterday's discussion about Apple cutting production numbers, said forecasting is tough. Tim Cook comes from the supply chain side of things and knows what he's doing naturally in that regard. He doesn't have a marketing or sales background, and that sometimes shows. Overall, it's not bad. It's just something to factor in. Cutting orders from a record high still puts their sales up at very high numbers compared to a year ago. To someone untrained, it might look like trouble when in reality, Tim might be just correcting course before it becomes a problem for Apple. If this all means financial trouble for Apple, then they'd need to provide guidance to investors, which hasn't happened yet. So the concern seems to be premature. From what I can see, Apple is doing the right thing, even if unnamed suppliers are complaining privately to the Wall Street Journal. And it's, Justin Robert Young always says, consider who benefits from this leak. And that might tell you something there.
Completely agree. But we've been hearing about 30%, as you discussed last time. 30% is always, I think, legitimate to be concerned about. But yeah, maybe not.
Well, thanks, Talon. Thanks, Natron. And thanks to Patrick Beja for being with us on this wonderful Tuesday, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving in the U.S. Patrick, besides hopefully having some sort of a Thanksgiving feast on your side of the world, what's new?
Every day is a Thanksgiving feast in my house. So, yes, I will.
Wasn't that nice for you?
So, yes, a couple of things. First, MVGB, if you enjoy video games casually and want to know about the latest things, the important things that have been happening, then go check out MVGB. That's a show I do with Scott Johnson every month. It's easy and fun. And the other thing I would say is if you speak French, then why aren't you already listening to Le Rendezvous Tech? That's something you should be doing. And if you are, thank you for doing so. So Le Rendezvous Tech is my French tech show and it's fun. And I would suspect you might like it. So go check it out.
David Michael, who runs the DTNS store for us, wanted me to let you know that starting midnight Thursday until midnight Monday, and a few people, or one person in particular in our Discord and I were saying, well, midnight Thursday, do you mean 12:01 a.m., David? But anyway, from Thursday morning, 12:01 a.m. until midnight Monday. You can use the code for non-patrons, Gobble Gobble, to get 15% off anything at dailytechnewsshow.com/store. That, once again, at checkout, Gobble Gobble, G-O-B-B-L-E, G-O-B-B-L-E, at dailytechnewsshow.com/store. And starting Thursday, you'll find an option to buy a bundle of a classic logo of DTNS t-shirt, mug, and hat, or the new logo t-shirt, mug, and hat for $50. That saves you $10 if you bought them individually. It's all at dailytechnewsshow.com/store.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday. Join us if you can, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. Find out more, tell a friend, dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.